I'd like to read from the book of Mark, Scriptures chapter 12, Scriptures 38 through 44. And in his teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to go about in long robes and have salutations in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses for the pretense to make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the multitude putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 copper coins, which makes a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, her whole living." I was told to point out the flower. Tanya's got a good sense of humor. It's called the Jack in the Pulpit. And I would like to point out it eats bugs and flies. Man, I can hear my dad laughing this morning. Laughing so hard. He would laugh so hard he'd run out of breath and turn red and keep laughing and giggling. He'd start to giggle. We used to have a standing argument. He'd say, "Well, Jack, why don't you be an elder?" I'd say, "Dad." He'd say, "What? Would you go to a church where I was an elder?" And we'd laugh really hard. He's laughing really hard. I'm not only an elder, and have been for a while, but this is my 3rd sermon to preach here. I would like to open, and I'm not texting on my phone. I have the text's important quotes saved here that I read often. This is a quote from a letter. "I'm fairly convinced that the kingdom of God is for the brokenhearted. Your right of powerlessness, join the club. We are not in control." Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, who was an ordained Presbyterian minister. His specialty was Christian education. There's a lot to this story. I'm a curious mind, so I want to know all about it. I research the heck out of it. I go to the authorities, the experts, and I want to look up the architecture. First thing I want to know is, what was that temple like? What was it? Let me describe it. Oh my gosh. The walls of the temple itself, 30 meters high, that's 10 stories. The dimensions of just the temple, that was 10 stories high, 180 feet long and 90 feet wide. From that tower, from the temple, where only the priests were allowed, ever, it went south, down to the bottom, 460 meters. Remember, a meter is only just a little bit less than a yard. North of that temple, the walls went 315 meters. From side to side, south to west, the walls went 280 meters. The walls itself around the temple and the courtyards were 50 feet high. A few decades later, the Romans were going to reduce that to rubble. When you first enter the temple area, there's a large courtyard called the women's courtyard. That's where the treasury is, because the women can't go past that. That's the largest courtyard. There are courtyards past that, and then the temple. And the farther the courtyards go, the fewer people are allowed. So within the treasury, which is the women's courtyard, are 13 wooden boxes that have brass trumpets coming up out of the top. 13 boxes all around the colonnade. And you deposit your coins in those 13 trumpets. You have to go in sequential order, 1 through 13, because they're ordered in the priority of what's the financial priority. I thought about listing them all out, but that would take a long time. Just know that the first box is for the care of the temple and for the priests. The very last is for widows and orphans. The only people required to be in there are men over 20 by law. That will change later when the Romans take over. There will be a tax on everybody. They already had control by then, but they had not sacked the temple. There had not been the episode in the resistance of Masada. So at the time, only if you're male over 20 are you required to pay a tax. And it's only half a shekel a year. Let me explain the coin system. That was interesting. They wanted silver, and they wanted a specific type of coin, silver, that was referred to as a Tarian shekel. You are only required to give half a shekel for the year. I'll read later about the money changers. Because people were embarrassed to bring brass coins, they wanted to give silver, so the money changers would change your brass coins into silver, but for a fee. One shekel was worth about 14 grams of silver. A denarius, which was paid to day laborers, including soldiers, was about 3.5 grams of silver. Gives you an understanding of what's going on with the money. The brass coins, the mites, as they're referred to, that the widow gave, were only worth 1/8 of a cent, or 1/64 of a day's wage. It gets worse. The trumpets are designed out of brass, so when you put the money in, everybody can hear the echoing of that stone courtyard, how much you're putting in. Gives you an idea of what's going on. So you got the court of the women, which is the treasury, the court of Israel, which is past that, and the court of the priests just before the temple. So you get an idea of what's going on. And it's loud in there, folks. It is busy. If you can picture what's going on, it's a stone floor, giant colonnades, no wood, all stone, all columns. The Levites, which are a category and a class, are a combination of deacons and elders. And you have to be born of that caste. They're descendants of Levi, the tribe descendants of the original descendants of Abraham, specifically of Jacob. If you're not a male descendant of that tribe, of that clan, of that family, you can't be a Levi. And they're responsible for maintenance, for singing the songs, for disseminating and pushing through the money, for gathering sacrifices, for everything. They maintain everything. And they get paid according to probably the fifth or sixth wooden box that's within the offering system, the treasury. You've got your priests, and I did not know this. To be a priest, you have to be not only from the tribe of Levi, but you have to be a descendant of Aaron. If you're not, forget it. Priests can be rabbis. That requires education. A rabbi is somebody who is a certified authority on the laws of Israel. Most priests are not rabbis. Jesus is in the third category. He's a rabbi. He is a certified official teacher of the laws of Israel. And he's in the temple that day with all the noise going on, with the Levites doing their song of the day, with the wealthy walking around and hobnobbing, with people prostrating themselves. You've got four giant stone houses within this on each corner. One holds the wood that has to be special sanctified wood for burning the offerings in the temple. The other has to be the concentrated oils from the sacrifices. And one's referred to as the leper room. Anybody coming into that first courtyard, they have to be anointed by oil, special oil that's prepared by the Levites. Now you get a better picture of what's going on. So she comes in with her two little coins. She's a poor widow. Not all widows are poor. You get your husband's money when he dies, a third of it, of any belongings and wealth. And the dowry that was initially paid on your behalf, you get that back. And it's yours. And whatever property was bequeathed to you is yours. You own it. But unless your family's wealthy, unless your husband was wealthy, you've got nothing, no source of nothing. So much so that there are so many poor widows that what they have a right to is fallen grain and fruit in the field. Nobody touches that. Kind of like eating out of dumpsters, folks. She's not required to be there. And she comes in with what little she has. She probably lives with her father if he's still alive, or with her son, or any of the sons, if she's lucky. And the money changers are in there. Give them your brass coins and they'll turn it into silver so you're not embarrassed. Poor fee. Jesus would have things to say about those money changers, but not on this day. On this day, he's quietly, not hogging the show, he's quietly sitting back, pointing something very intimate, very sacred, very fragile out to his students. And all that noise, look over there. Don't miss that. That's the point. That's what's going on. And this is one of the few times he's very quiet. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was a radical. Holy cow. Let me read to you the section of the money changers. And he wasn't arrested that day. There would also have to be centurions in there on guard to maintain order. Centurions were battle-hardened legionnaires who somehow lived through 10 to 12 to 15 years of frontline brutal battle and still had some limbs intact. And as a reward for being so courageous, so loyal, so you name it, they weren't retired, but they were allowed to come and be guards. These are scary men, people. These are frightening people. But they don't attack him that day. He's so scary. He's so angry. He's so powerful. They just step back and go, we don't get paid enough. But people will notice him. People will start to use this against him. So he has a temper tantrum. He throws the tables over. He says, how dare you do this in my father's house? Chases him out. Makes that space holy again. But this time he does not. I want to read to you one of my favorite scriptures. It's what Jesus was about. And so it happened while he was dining in Matthew's house that many toll collectors and sinners showed up and just then and dined with Jesus and his disciples. And whenever the Pharisees saw this, they would question his disciples, why does your teacher eat with toll collectors and sinners? When Jesus overheard this, he said, since when do the able-bodied need a doctor? It is the sick who do. Go and learn what this means. It is mercy I desire, not sacrifice. After all, I did not come to enlist religious folks, but sinners. It is mercy I desire, not sacrifice. Begins to give us an insight to the importance of that widow. I'm going to read to you another quote. Jesus was not killed by atheism and anarchy. He was brought down by law and order allied with religion, which is always a deadly mix. Beware those who claim to know the mind of God and who are prepared to use force, if necessary, to make others conform. Beware those who cannot tell God's will from their own. Barbara Brown Taylor, an ordained Episcopalian priest, in 2014, Time placed her in the magazine as the 100 most influential people in the world that year. I'm going to reread that scripture again and that story, but from a book that I love that's put in more precise common language. So now we know what's behind the story. Now we know what's going on. Now we can picture it. Now we understand the cultural references and context, which is so important. Now let's reread the story. And he would sit across from the treasury and observe the crowd dropping money into the collection boxes. And many wealthy people would drop large amounts in. Then one poor widow came and put in 2 small coins, which is a pittance. And he mentioned, he pulled his disciples over and said to them, "I swear to you, this poor widow has contributed more than all those who dropped something out of the collection box. After all, they were all donating out of their surplus, whereas she, out of her poverty, was contributing all she had, her entire livelihood." Contrary to how Jesus usually was when he was teaching and challenging and pointing out the error of ways, at this one point in time, he is very delicate. He's delicate not to bring attention to this lady to embarrass her. It's like you don't want to touch a flower that you might cause to wilt or step on something on the ground that's a small little tiny flower on a plant. He doesn't want to interfere with the beauty of what's going on. There were going to be many changes coming, not just for him, but for the entire Hebrew culture. For an entire Roman nation, they were going to be in civil war 4 different times over the next 100 years and change their entire government from more of a republic to a dictatorship. There was lots of change going on. But Jesus is pointing out what is the most important. I'm going to read another quote, and it might surprise you all. It did me. My dad used to refer to a lot of evangelist preachers as religious prostitutes. He did not have respect for them. They're big jets, they're big cars. Not knowing their languages to understand the scriptures entirely, untrained, uncertified, unordained. But man, he said, that Billy Graham, said, I can argue till I'm blue in the face with them. We do not have the same theology, but that man is the real deal. Here's the quote. Being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It is a daily process whereby you grow to become more like Christ. Billy Graham. So this widow, this delicate, fragile, quiet soul, it's not the money, it's what's happening. She gives herself. She gives of herself. Remember, God wants broken hearts and contrite hearts and broken dreams. In such contrast to the arrogance and the power that's mingling around. All that pretentiousness. It's from her heart she gave those 2 coins. It's from her heart and soul. She gave everything she had. It's not just the coins, folks. She gave everything she had herself. Everything you have, Kevin. Everything you have. Everything you have, Barbara. We give everything we have. All of us. All the time. It's what it means to be Christian.